Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
An intriguing question for you. When last did you buy a newspaper publication in South Africa? Maybe a while for some of us, or maybe you happen to receive them for free at your workplace, as we do have exposure here at Kaya 959. But I certainly recall a time, and perhaps it still continues today, where every Sunday morning my father had this absolute tradition of actually buying the Sunday newspapers and reading them throughout the course of the afternoon to catch up on the news. But over the years, I myself have also witnessed that perhaps the content is a little bit thinner, lighter. And of course, we can't ignore the impact that the pandemic has had on the media industry and sectors across the economy. But tonight we're speaking to an industry peer, the CEO of the Daily Maverick, and this is really to reflect on the concerns that have been raised around Media 24 potentially and reportedly going to let go of at least 400 employees on the back of the closure and no longer public printing Rapport, City Press, Bild and Daily Sun. We'll be joined by the CEO of the Daily Maverick, Stylie Kgaralambos, who's going to give us some insight into just having a better understanding of the business side of print media in South Africa. Stylie, warm welcome to the show and thank you so much for your time.
Good evening. Lovely to be here with you.
A delight to speak to you, Stylie. And I guess first things first, maybe let's just get your thoughts and observations as a partner, peer and competitor in the media industry around the shifts that we've witnessed, especially when it comes to print media and the democratization of digital access to content.
Yeah, the last few years have been really, really tough on the print industry especially, and it's continued to see significant declines across the board. So I guess in a sense, the writing was on the wall that more titles would be closing down or moving to digital only publications, as we've seen some of these titles at Media 24 will do. It is tough. There are some sectors around the world in where print is seeing a little bit of growth in becoming a coffee table book type of operation, a real investment in premium type products. But, you know, those are in different, more developed markets where economies are stronger and the ability to pay for print titles is much higher than we've seen here, where we've struggled with a flagging economy as well as the impact of COVID, which was much harder felt in countries like South Africa than more developed countries. And so there's been quite a few things that have been factored into the decline of print. And also a lot of publications, a lot of publishers have been engaged in cutting costs, which I think has also contributed to the decline of the quality of the product as well. So a mixture of things that has really contributed to what we've seen in the print space, in the digital space. Lots of news publications are growing. The unfortunate reality is that even with that growth of readership in the digital space, making that sustainable in a digital format is much, much harder than it used to be in print. And so even though as we see much bigger and larger audiences in the digital space, that doesn't necessarily convert into revenue.
100%. Stylie, as one of the leaders at Daily Maverick, you recently participated in the Competition Commission's Media and Digital Platforms Market Inquiry, and you've raised concerns around how social media platforms also pose a significant threat. And I'm assuming this does speak to, you know, the potential collapse and compromise of not only print media, but also digital media. Give us some more context around this.
Yeah, the market inquiry has been an interesting participation for us and others. A lot of the migration of advertising revenues, as that moved away from print into the digital space, mm-hmm. most publishers were hoping that that would just simply transfer across to news publishers. The reality is that big tech platforms with much bigger, well-resourced budgets, much more data, and you know, some questionable practices, have seen the lion's share of digital advertising go to just a handful of companies like Google, Facebook, and Amazon, and becoming a big player globally. And so the question that the Competition Commission had was, were there any abuses of market practices or unfair practices that were employed in getting to this position of dominance? And they will be releasing their draft findings, I think, in October. There's another round of discussions still to be had. And so that certainly does come into play. The question is that needs to be answered is, you know, were there any unfair practices employed in getting to that dominance? And we'll see what the Competition Commission has to say. There are other jurisdictions around the world which have found that there were indeed unfair practices and fines were dished out. And we'll wait and see what the findings are and what the remedies are. But that's just one part of the problem that will not solve the solution, even if the Competition Commission comes out and says, yes, there is reparations to be paid or fines to be paid. Will that go to news publishers who have felt the brunt of it, for example? And what does it say about the future? You know, our belief is that we are experiencing a market failure of journalism. Mm. And when a market failure happens, you really only have two options to try and fix that market failure. The first is philanthropy, which we know there's not enough of around the world anyway, and especially in South Africa. And the second is we need policy reform. The answer to this problem lies in making it easier for the public to support journalism and public interest journalism specifically, make it easier for businesses to support and for donors and investors to get back into media. And so we need a policy framework that encourages the support of those different parties that I spoke of through tax incentives and rebates and other mechanisms.
I'm so glad you mentioned this, because some might just say, just put up a paywall. You've done that at Daily Maverick, raised the concerns around it and opportunities as to why it should be there. But there's, I guess, a lackluster response to this in the market in South Africa.
Yeah, just to be clear, we have a voluntary membership program, and so we don't block anyone from accessing our journalism, which is slightly different to a paywall, because we believe that as a public interest journalism outfit and as a public good, everyone should have access to high quality journalism, especially in a time when mis- and disinformation spreads so quickly and freely. And so we've come up with a model that allows us to get support from our readers. We would love to do more. We have 30,000 people that do so voluntarily. But to fill in the gaps that exist in South Africa, we estimate, you know, more than 50%, close to 70% of the journalistic workforce has left the industry since we started 15 years ago. And so there are massive, massive gaps that need to be filled. And the only way that we can do that is if we change the framework in which journalism operates. And to use incentives, tax incentives, policy frameworks that make it easier for people to support this work, which is so crucially important in a country like South Africa.
Very true. And I think that's also something we should reflect on in a moment before we do focus on print as well, but just the significance of the job losses. And it's not just jobs, as we're highlighting, but a rather specialized skill. We've also seen newsrooms also bleeding significant talent and a juniorization of newsrooms over the last few years, right?
Yeah, and this is all linked to the financial pressures and the economic challenges that news publishers have felt around the world. And in order to try and cut costs, people have gone to more junior staff, replaced them, and lost entire generations of highly skilled journalists with institutional memories, you know, going back and obviously through very important periods in our country's history and politics. And we've just lost those people, and they've left the industry, they've gone into communications or just retired. And those are significant losses. And so, we've got to find a way to repair the situation. It's a multifaceted problem that needs to be solved. We as an industry need to get better at what we do. We need to create more relevant and more useful and valuable journalism. But at the same time, you know, the Constitution asks us to help protect this democracy of ours, but at the same time doesn't offer any special concessions to make that possible. And so we need to fix that as well.
Definitely a very important sector, as the Fifth Estate really contributing to knowledge, information and clear decision making that often happens in South Africa. Stiley, I'm glad that you've given us some clarity and context around understanding the industry overall and the concerns at a digital level as well. But let's go back to print for just a moment, because the Daily Maverick does also have a print edition that at one point has been very and significantly popular and continues to be. I'm keen for us, number one, to take us through the full value chain of producing quality content in print format and helping us understand if this is really the end or if there are other alternatives to make sure that the print sector can survive.
Yeah, you know, as a digital-only publication, we raised a lot of eyebrows. You know, people thought we were mad/stupid. To launch a print publication in the middle of the pandemic as well. And, you know, we always had this hypothesis that there are still people who would appreciate a quality read if we created a quality product and went to the trouble of printing it, especially in a time when we are bombarded with notifications and social media and personalized algorithms. And our hypothesis was that a weekly print title based on the quality journalism the Daily Maverick produces, as a basket of information that gives people the opportunity to read stories that might not necessarily click on in an online format, would pick up multiple times throughout the week. That was our bet. And so we launched with a unique partnership with Pick and Pay at the time. And then, you know, that that changed into a more traditional model later on. And it's been growing. It's been, I think we had a 20% growth year on year last year. And so there is still the possibility for print titles to grow. It just takes a hell of a lot of effort, a dedication that is, you know, above and beyond what I think a lot of existing or legacy publishers who are used to really just owning a channel. And I think, you know, it's much, much harder now. And so I think as a single title, we can put the whole organization to support this product. We believe in it. We believe that there is still nothing else delivers a basket of information like a print product does. You get the breadth of content that you would never normally read in an online format. And it's designed in a way that gives you, you know, everything from investigations to crosswords to lifestyle to just a wide breadth of stuff that, that really helps in a way that no other, you know, reading offering does on any other channel.
Yeah, definitely. And perhaps take us into the full value chain. It's one thing to have journalists like myself and peers contributing to articles, but printing costs, transport and logistics, and even the citizens themselves who actually sell these newspapers on the side of the roads that we've gotten so accustomed to, that actually speaks to the far-reaching consequences of potential closures here, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It takes an incredible amount of planning, and also to do it in a way that you can run leaner than you ever could in a legacy operation. And so we were quite lucky as a digital first organization. We were able to, I guess, re-engineer and do a very lean and digital first process with regards to putting out a print publication. And so that allowed us to basically create a lean bolt onto our existing digital operations. But there are still more parts of the process that are required, the layout, the design, the extra tools that are required, the planning, the last minute deadlines that need to be sent off to the printers. Then you have the print deadlines that need to happen, the quality of the print paper and the printing that needs to happen, and then distributed to various different distribution centers, and then out to all the retailers and, you know, the various different places in which you have to try and grow the audience and, you know, and your sell-through rate, where, you know, you look at, you know, possibly around 50% of everything you print gets sold, and then you have to collect those back again. So it is quite an involved process. It is quite difficult to get it out there, and then, you know, it takes some time to collect the revenue from that as well. So there are a lot of challenges, but we still believe in it. We still believe that, you know, as I mentioned before, all those reasons around combating mis and disinformation and giving people the chance to pick up a quality title. This country still desperately wants it and needs it. It's just unfortunate that we're seeing, you know, some of the big legacy publishers cutting those opportunities now.
Really unfortunate. To close off with though, Stiley, I'm keen to understand there's still a relevance and presence for a need for print, as you say, print media. But of course, many businesses do need to reflect and review their operations and operational structures. Does this mean that there might be space for consolidation in the industry at all?
Yeah, we're seeing that today. There's one print distributor left in the country that was part of this deal by Media 24 in selling off or closing these titles. They sold off the distributor to the actual printers, Novus, which obviously makes sense for printers to be able to help distribute to their products in order to help them keep going. So we are seeing consolidation. Unfortunately, there's not too many people in the market buying titles. So we're likely to see probably a shrinking of the industry unless we do something else. And those are the policy reform that I mentioned earlier.
Got you. Stylie, such a pleasure speaking to you, sir. And thank you so much for your time. Looking forward to hearing more updates from your organization going forward, sir.
Pleasure to speak to you.
Thank you. That's Stylie Karalambos, who's a CEO of the Daily Maverick, giving us some insight into observations around the print media industry. And if it is dying, if it does face a lot of pressure, and as Stylie's mentioned, there's still a need, there's still a great market for it. Of course, cost factors do need to be evaluated, but certainly not going to be extinct. But it is unfortunate that some of the large titles that we've become so used to are closing down shop. So share your thoughts with us. Earlier, I had asked many of you, as South Africans, when last did you buy a newspaper? I recall a time growing up where it was just our daily bread. You'd see elderly gentlemen, our fathers, our grandfathers, our uncles literally carrying a newspaper and reading it front to back every day. And even more so when it came to a Sunday morning where there was so much news and information to consume from the week that had passed.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.